Greetings and peace, and welcome once again to another edition of the Olivet Discourses from the Olivet Baptist Church, the Biblical Alternative. My name is Mark Ramsey. Today's sermon, an example of our Christian mission, taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Salvation has come to the church. God is not finished with us yet. Each of us must realize our individual mission. We have a need to focus upon those important aspects of ministry. Distractions have come and they will continue to come. What are you doing in the face of the distractions? Do you realize what Christ saved us for? Do we need to investigate any further what our obligations are in the face of easy texts? We must break off from difficult exposition for a while. On Sunday nights in classroom number 2, Pastor John will continue to explore the dynamics of James in his unique exposition style. But for now, we must analyze the simple milk of the word. Please open your Bibles now to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
An example of our Christian mission. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. The reason that Christ died on the cross for the church stands out as the reason for our going, our doing, our being, our exampling the Christian experience. The reason that we are here is because of what Christ has provided for us on Calvary. The text of the Bible provides for God's people certain mandates for the expression of our witness to a world that is in need of His presence. A world that does not know what it means to identify that we're Christians. The Great Commission tells us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching the new disciple to observe all things. And then Jesus says, and check this out, I'm with you until the very end of the age. I had a marvelous discussion last night with a young man. And I asked him a question. He called me during dinner, and I told this young man, you never disturb me when you call and want to discuss Bible with me. I put my dinner on hold when it comes to Bible. Food means nothing unless I'm discussing the bread of life. You call me while I'm eating prime rib, that stuff will get cold. Because my passion is to give you the word. And I said, young man, can you tell me why Christ came and provided salvation for the Gentile population of this entire planet? He said, nope, can't tell you. I said, He came to make Israel jealous. He saved me as an African-American male, you as a Hispanic-American male or female, or an Anglo-American male and female that are not of Jewish descent for one reason, one major reason, to make the Jews jealous and so that they would see him as Messiah. The entire salvific age is for one reason, to bring the Jews to salvation. Your whole life, your whole Christian experience is to make the Jews look at us and yearn for God. When the Jews look at us, they're perturbed. They're confused. Our entire mannerisms as Christians is abomination. No Jew would want to see Christ as a Messiah if he visited the average Christian church today. And I shared with this young man, that is the essence of what our salvation is about. It's not about a praise party. It's not about Men's Day, Women's Day, Preacher's Day, this day, that day. It's all about jealousy for Christ. There are times that all of us need to be reminded of our responsibility of an active, obedient Christian experience. So the object of our meeting today, or the big idea, is to clarify by deed and example the things that God has called us to do for Him in a world that eagerly awaits the message of salvation. I mean, man, we have a world that's in, that has, we are living in a world that has an ache to see righteousness personified in individuals that claim to know God. Every single ounce of our ability should be thrust into magnifying what Christ is all about. Point number one, there can be no mission unless we are called, commissioned, and commanded. As you look at verse 1, Jesus called the 12 together, and He gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. He called the 12 together. God, can't you all see this? We are together in this room. If He didn't call you, you're here for the wrong reasons. Can the church say amen? Amen. In other words, if your grandmama called you, if your wife called you, if your husband called you, if your friend called you, if the pastor called you, if the teacher called you, you're here for the wrong reason. Because if these jokers that I just mentioned call you, you ain't been commanded nothing of God. If somebody else calls you outside of Him, your whole church thing is futility. Because now everything is based upon Him calling you and commanding you. You got children? Are they called? Are they commanded? Then they can't do anything for God. Whose fault is that? It's not the teacher's. It's not even yours. You know what it is? It's your own children. Who's rejected the word of God. You can't do Christian mission unless you've been called. And after you've been called, you do Christian mission. You don't do sin. You don't do hate. You do extreme love. Extreme love. And if you can't do extreme love, you have not been called. I think it's plain in the verse. He called His disciples together. That's what it says right here. He called the 12 together. After He called them together, look what He did. He gave them power. What is this? What is this? What is this power that He's talking about? The power to think differently in the world that you live in. The power to think like Christ thinks. The power to move from being nothing to something. The power to live an effective Christian experience without your friends hanging on to you. The power to do Christianity in the soul ain't when nobody affirms you. This kind of power He gives. This ain't no Baptist power. This is no Protestant power. God says, I call them to give them power in their lives. Christian church hasn't gotten it yet. You think you're going to get your power from me? No, you get denial from me. I only want people around me that manifest this kind of power. And if you don't manifest this kind of power, you haven't been called. Is this offensive? You can get up and get out because you have no business here. This is for believers. Oh, I hope the Holy Spirit will get you saved one day. But you've got to respond to his power, and in doing that, you drop dead. He also says in this verse, and authority over the demons. Man, the church is the weakest group of chumps that I've seen in my entire life. Demon can whisper in your ear. And you just, oh man, what? Say what? Power! What's the matter with you people? A demon whispers in your ear, what are you going to say and do? You need to look at the demon and say, you hellbound demon, all defiled anyhow, your mama. No power. No power. No authority. No nothing. But controversy. See, that's something else. Power over the demons and to heal diseases. Oh, I know some of you Baptist folk don't even believe in that God will heal. First of all, your heart is sick. Let him heal that thing. Matter of fact, the word of God says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you're going to try to talk about you know yourself? Altogether debauched. Your heart needs healing. That healing doesn't come until he calls you and then, oh, wait a minute. Am I preaching? Oh, I hope I'm preaching to you. Some of you don't even think I preach anymore. Do you have the power of God in your life? And if there isn't anything but foolishness, that's your problem, not mine. Because I want this power that he's talking about. Now, how many of you want it? Just raise your hand. If you want it. You see, I didn't see your hands go up because you don't want this. You got religion. Found you out. I found you out. This kind of power is what God gives his children. The other stuff. Well, now, I think I better move on down because he said power over this. Well, hey, my heart's here. Point number two, there is a certain expectation. Yes, there is a certain expectation. Look at verse 2. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. All right, he expects something from you. He didn't tell you to come to church and hang around here. Told you to hit your neighborhood street. Go door to door and share this power with your heathen neighbors. Go to that job and share this power with your heathen bosses and heathen friends you work with. Go to your families and share this power with them. He had an expectation. Church has taken all of their energies and come to church to see a circus show. He expects something of us, and he sent them out. Now, if he didn't send you, you're going on your own. You're not going to affect anything for him in the first place. If God didn't send you, you're just wasting your time. You can join the evangelistic crew, but if you don't love people, you ain't going to do anything but get in the way. Somebody asked me, do you go out with the evangelism team? Man, everywhere I go, to the supermarket, to the gas station, they all know I'm in Jesus. When I see people acting like a heathen, I say, man, you need God. Just like that. Don't care how bad I look. They can't make me look bad. I'm full of power. What are you full of? Or you can tell that when you go to the toilet. And that's the church. You're full of it. And you need power to live an effective Christian life. Or if Jesus was here, this way he talked with you. He says, I have expectations of you. I didn't save you to sit on your rumps. I didn't save you to come to the church to go through the show. I told you to get out there and become change agents. Church ain't got no power. Certain expectations. I'm sending you out to proclaim the kingdom of God. Simple, church. Take what you've studied in the Word of God and share it. Every line, every jot, every tittle. That's why he's not blessing many of our lives. You blessing yourself. You blessing yourself. He isn't doing anything for you. If you don't exercise his power, he's not blessing you. You going on that job. You making that money. You selling yourself. You've sold yourself out. Power. See, my friends, power in Christ looks funny. It looks strange. It doesn't look like the world. Power with the world is a stupid looking thing. Power in Christ is saying it and daring anybody to challenge it. Power in Christ is not trying to protect yourself. Power in Christ is crucifixion, death for the right cause. Why are some of your heads down? Why can't you look at me? Why can't you manifest this kind? I'll tell you why you can't. He's never called you, and you're not admitting it yet. Admit it. He's never called you. What kind of a gospel do you want? Do you want a charlatan to tell me I'm saved? Tell me I'm going to heaven? No, you're lost and you're on your way to hell. Power. Certain expectations. To proclaim the kingdom of God. He didn't say to proclaim you. He didn't say to proclaim denomination. He didn't say, he said the power to proclaim the kingdom. Church has gotten away from that. You don't want to proclaim the kingdom anymore. You want to create one. Let's keep on looking at this. Verse 2, I think that, hey, and then it says, as you proclaim this kingdom of God and to perform the healing, he gave you power and authority over it. Why isn't healing taking place in our individual lives? You have to answer that. It's a good possibility you ain't never been called. You're just a church member. Point number 3, there are certain rules that apply. There are certain rules that apply to this power. Verses 3 and 4. And he said to them, these are the rules. These are the rules. Because if you really got this, this has nothing to do with your so-called earthly resources. It has nothing to do with how much money you make. It has nothing to do with how popular you are with people. It has nothing to do with your articulation. It has nothing to do with your degrees. It has nothing to do with who you think you are. Christianity opposes everything that you've been taught, that you thought was true. And that's why true biblical power looks strange coming from a man like me in a black robe. Because I care for none of those things. Doesn't make any difference what house you live in. Doesn't make any difference about your so-called stupid family background. It has something to do with him and you, and he called you. That's all. And all the other stuff is nothing but the peripherals that you use for his glory. His glory, his glory. Everything he gives you is for his glory. And you are nothing in his sight, and you know it. And if you think too highly of yourselves, you have not been called. Your name is mud. And he will tell you that in the judgment seat. He didn't save you for a church. He saved you to make the Jews jealous and to glorify him. The church has lost its way. How dare some of you think I should shut up? I am full of his power. And I want you out of this church. That's the way that goes. And I'm going to personally put you out if you reveal to me that you don't have this kind of power. Now that's the way that goes. You don't like it, you can get them, get out now. Now! Because this is power talking to you. I represent his church. I don't represent you. Let that sink in. Because see, you're going to take some communion, aren't you? You're going to take the bread and the cup. damnable hypocrites, eating and drinking damnation to your own souls. And that's what I'm going to talk about. We're going to talk about eating and drinking damnation. You better keep your damnable hands off that tray when it passed by you. So full of it. Oliver, he said, don't take none for your journey, Pastor John. Don't take no staff, don't take no bag, don't take no bread, no money. Don't even have two. You know what, preacher? When you go on your preaching thing, don't take four or five suits to bedazzle the crowd. Don't go and try to impress anybody with what you got. Why don't you just go in your pajamas and preach? Let the Holy Ghost wake you up. Walk on up and down the street like the prophet of old. Repent, my neighborhood. Repent. Christ is coming. Oh, they're going to call the police when they come and says, man, I'm cold in my right mind. How else can I get an audience from a dead America? But no, you want to look nice, don't you? You want people to think highly of you, don't you? You want people to speak well of your name, don't you? No, you don't. When you got this kind of power, you won't. Ah, there's a difference between religion and Christianity, my friends. Some of you have been knowing me my whole life since I was a little old bitty, 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 bitty baby boy. You didn't know that God was going to do this with me, did you? You didn't know that he was going to do this in me, did you? Well, he did this in me and so that he can do it in you. This is the way you should have been. And our community should have been evangelized 20 or 30 years ago. Oh, yeah, he's going to do it through the vet. And I only want people here with power. People that ain't got no power, you will eventually fade, fade, fade away. Then he says in verse 4, and whatsoever house you enter, look at this, stay there and take your leave from that house. In other words, you in a ministry? You in a Bible church? You stay there and do what I told you to do there. Most of you folk in this room have come from other churches where they claimed they had power. They just shouted and sung your behind to literal death. Oh, you know what they're doing. And the preacher would talk about power and everybody jump in the pew and the choir singing about power and everything else. That's why you left them churches. Have you forgotten so soon? I ain't singing and I ain't jumping. I'm looking for some power. That is how I tell who's saved and who is not. If there's no power in your life, ain't my fault, must be yours, because I'm full of power. You may think I'm full of constipation. I'm not. I am not. And if you think I am, approach me and tell me what you think of me. Please don't go to your friends. Come to me, to my face, you cowards. Come to me. I dare you to come to me, because I'm going to give you nothing but the word of God. But I know you can't stand that. And when you tell me I don't want the word of God, oh, no. Oh, no, I broke off James. See, we're going to have hard exegesis tonight in classroom number 2. Those for the ones that want the Bible. Come on tonight. I'm going to break down just verse 1 in 90 minutes of chapter 3 of James chapter 3. 90 minutes of verse 1. Those of you that think you teachers, you need to show up. Because James really hits that one real hard on the head. I can't bring it on the floor here no more because you don't think I preach now. I'm going to be giving you some hardcore exegesis tonight. So those of you that want the hard stuff, the meat, come on out. I'm going to give you milk here. Milk means, are you saved in the first place? And we're going to give an invitation. We're going to give an altar call. Oh, yeah, we're going all the way back, man. I'm going to give an altar call. How many of you today want to say yes to Jesus as he talks to you? Come on up here. Oh, yeah, we're going to give you a chance. I thought that I was pastoring a church that was beyond that foolishness. Thought that I was pastoring a church that God is talking to your beautiful hearts and you know what he wants you to do. You've reverted back to the baby stage. And this that I'm preaching to you, I didn't study 20 minutes for it. I didn't study 20 minutes. This is baby food for a church this age. expect you people to be biblical. And you people can't tell the truth from the error. And got me freaking out on the radio talking about I need to quit. No pastor is any stronger than the church that he pastors. Church. When you're a bunch of weak, wimped out individuals, can't think through a leap in logic, and I've been teaching you all this time, all those lessons, all that, you need some power. Yeah, he says, stay there in that house. See, some of you want to get out of a ministry like Olivet. I know. Go on out there. They got a lot of them out there. Oh, they got a lot of them out there, friends. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you. Point number four. Yeah, they're waiting on you. Point number four. There is a certain reaction rendered towards those that reject this Christian mission. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. And as for those who do not receive you, that means you, the ones that have the power, the ones that will not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Now, when you manifest power like this in Christ, there are those of you that will reject me. Well, guess what? Watch this. Through with you. You reject me as a senior teacher, I'm through with you. You will accept me as a senior teacher here, I'm through with you. That's what the word says, isn't it? Isn't that what the word says? I mean, this is simple baby food. If they don't receive what you tell them, shake it and leave. Let's make it real plain. Is it difficult to understand this? See, because this is what you have to do when people reject truth from you. When people reject truth from you, you've got to look at this reaction here. And as for those who do not receive you, I don't think about what he's saying. Forget him. I don't have to do that. You have to here. This ain't your house. This is not your house. This is God's house. And God's servant has heavy demands on you when you come to his house. And you will do what God tells you to do here. Now, if you're sitting in your pew right now, and listen, I'm tired of some of you mumbling around, these weak Christians around here that hear you mumbling in this pew. Because I told some of them that told me about your mumbling, turn around and tell them, why don't you get up and get out of here? Thing that man says, every point that man raises, you got an objection to it. You need to turn around and tell that person in the church, you need to get up and get out of here and get saved one day. And don't be afraid to tell them that. They may cuss you out right there, and then you know who they are for real deal. Because if I was sitting out there and I heard somebody mumbling, I'd say, excuse me, pastor. Look, fool, why don't you get up and get out? And even if it's your mama, be able to tell her that. Because your own mama can be out of her mind. Amen? I mean, what you think this thing is? Your own mammy, if you want to put it that way. You're going to be in God's house and you're going to be talking against the man of God and the word of God because you don't believe it. Tells me to shake the dust from under my feet as a testimony. It didn't say for him. What did it say? Against. I want to hear that again. What did it say? Yes. Say it again, church. What did it say? If you got power, you gonna speak against them. What's the matter with you folk? Well, it's all about love. It's about against. It's about against. And when you're against someone, you're gonna tell somebody the truth. You're out of your mind. Tell me you're out of your mind. Well, let's come on down to the last point. Don't take too long to do all this. Last point, there is only one response from those who receive his example of Christian mission as found in verse 6. Look at the response. And departing, they begin going about amongst the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everything.
God. I'm going to have to quote Joshua here. As for me and my house, we're going to do it. Lucy and I, we're going to do it. See, Lucy wouldn't be staying with me unless she's doing it. You hear me? I said, Lucy, I'm doing it. Are you going to do it? I had to get out, baby. You can keep your room in the back. I ain't got nothing to do with you. Sapphire. He told me to do it. You in my house, you're going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're getting out of my house. I'm going to get out of this house and get my own house. Because we do it here. Now, you got folk in your house that won't do it? What are you telling them? Well, I know how it is. No, you need to say, why aren't you doing it? Now, what these folk will do is put up a smoke screen because they're incapable of doing it, because they have no power. And this kind of preaching is offensive because they came to be made to feel good. All I want to see is you do, the only response is to do it. Now, the conclusion of this whole thing is found in verse 7, because when you do it, this is what's going to be the response as we come to the conclusion. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed. This fool was so crazy behind Jesus doing ministry and his disciples doing ministry, he thought that John the Baptist had come back from the dead. Now, let me explain something to you about this conclusion. When you do it, church, folk are going to become perplexed. When you do this right, folk become angry at you. There is an old adage that we say in our church, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We've sung it for years. Now let me put some meat on that. When you grow in Christ and in the power of his word, your light becomes like these lights around me, brighter and brighter and brighter. And as that light gets so much brighter, it blinds the eyes of them that have never been called. And they have to put that light out because the light is shining on them. We used to sing in our church, won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Some of you are letting Satan put your light out. Well, that's between you and God. Because as for mine, I'm going to let it shine with power. Because he commanded me to do so. I would do it, first of all, to the church that I pastor. Second of all, I would do it on that radio tonight on that microphone. I will continue to burn people because the church needs a fire lit under it. This was not in the sermon, but please turn with me to the book of Revelation. I'd like to show you what lukewarmness looks like. And then what I want you to do is I want you to judge whether Olivet has come to this point in their lives. I think that's fair. Unless you think I'm talking to you about that. No. Which one of those churches is it, Al? What verse is that? Give me the lukewarm church. Revelation chapter. What's that? Okay, 3:14. Thank you. 3:14. I was looking at chapter 2. Let's deal with this. And to the angel, that means the messenger, the pastor. Because they didn't have any winged birds flying over church. But if you knew anything about biblical exegesis, you would know that. To the angel of the church at Laodicea, write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, that is Jesus. Jesus speaking. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. And then he says, I would that you were one or the other. He said, either you're going to be powerful or you're going to be altogether debauched. But stop playing the in-between game. You see, because that's what folk do in churches when they're hiding out in ecclesia. Well, you know, I could be, but he won't let me be. I could be, but she's stopping. Shut up. You're neither cold nor hot. Now look how this thing works here. And then he says, so, because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, Jesus says, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, you know, that means that you taste like vomit to him. Because you know what happens when you regurgitate some food that's already been chewed and digested? You say, ooh, man, what's this stuff? Yeah. Woo! Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. Oh, look at the church today. Oh, yeah. Oh, y'all got money, don't you? Nice homes, clothes, cars, things. I know God's blessing me. No, that's the job. That's just a job. You go to work every day, they're going to pay you money in this society. See, most of you, if you couldn't go to work and you know, trick your way through that, you couldn't make it any other way. If we were in a farming economy, the thing is, could you plant a crop and would it grow? But look what he says, because I'm rich and I become wealthy, and look at this, and have need of nothing. I don't need no more Bible, man. I don't need no more John. I don't need no more of this. I don't need no. Christ says you're neither cold nor hot. Some of you old Olivites, y'all remember this kind of preaching? Didn't hear no amens, did I? You're trying to forget it, aren't you? See, you didn't know what God was calling when he raised this itty-bitty boy up. He said, itty-bitty boy, you're going to be raised up, and you're going to remind them again and again. And when I take you out, I'm going to send somebody else to remind them. Look at this. And then it says, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself. No, I skipped a verse down. He says, I'm in verse 17. He says, and you do not know that you are wretched. Listen, church. Miserable. This is Jesus' words. Poor, blind, and naked. Now, you have to understand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is getting ready to take a church out. He says, oh, you think you bad? You that bad now? You don't even know what the man in the robe ain't preaching no more. You that bad. They ain't going to, hey, listen, got the audacity to tell me to my face. And I know what preaching is. And I know you don't even have the slightest idea what God is trying to say to anybody here. Not even you. Jesus said, this is the word of God. Oh, yeah. And this is what you're going to get at the vet. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Then Jesus gives some advice. I advise you to buy from me. See, he said, I don't know what you've been into, what you think you're biting into. But he said, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. That's the kind of preaching that I do. Man called me Sunday night and said, you know, you don't hear a lot of fire and brimstone preaching. I said, they're afraid of it. They're afraid they're going to run all the sinners away. What do you think the objective of gospel preaching is? Tell them to flee from the wrath which is coming. Then he says this, that you may become, he says, hey, that you may become rich. Because, see, you think you're rich, you're not rich. With white garments, that means that your garments are polluted. Your religiosity is stinking in his nostrils. That you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. You know, that's like a person walking around exposed and don't even know it. And it says, your eye salve, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. You know what Jesus is saying? You are totally blind. Those whom I love, look what Jesus says in verse 19. I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and what? Say it again, church. Yes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word that is made so plain and easy to us. You've called us to go out and to evangelize our world. We ready our hearts to do that. Let us be zealous and repent. Father, but there's something else here. As I conclude, only those that are called can repent. People that are not called cannot repent. They don't know what it means. We pray that your word may continuously speak forth your truth as we align ourselves to its godly principles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As far as I'm concerned, that was biblical preaching in its finest. Just tell the truth. Let the word speak for itself. Call the sinners out. Let them know that they've been marked and noted. And then do whatever you can to drive them out of the church. But in today's economy of true Christianity, they will drive you out. Because if they are more in number than you are, even in strong and powerful voice, they will try to protect their legion, L-E-G-O-N, not religion. That's called legion in the truest sense of the word. I enjoy listening to my preaching well after the fact, and I hope that you have too. If you know the history of that church, it is no longer existence. And, well, it may be in shell form, but if you go by there, you will see why I said that. No power at all. I thank God for the power that He's left in me and for the power to preach the word. And by the way, that wasn't beating up on people. That was ridding the sinners, trying to run the sinners out of a godly church. That is the role of a pastor. Run the sinners out. The true saints love the word. They're going to adhere to the word, abide by it, not be confused by what the word is saying. The true believer will love this kind of preaching for the rest of his or her days. They will extol and exonerate God, and God in like form and fashion will protect their lives for the duration. Boy, it's been a joy just listening to this archival sermon. I love listening to Johnny Coleman preach the archives. First time I listened to it since 1996. As a matter of fact, about a week or so after that, I was booted out of the church. Do I sound like an unhappy man to you? No, because power is what preached that sermon, and power is what has sustained me since I got kicked out. Well, now, as a retired congregational pastor, I'm glad that you can come and listen to good, solid preaching. It's still being done in the hearts of those that love the Master. And I'm so glad that you have participated in this gathering. Thank you for coming to my website. You know the drill. Stay into the Word.